Looked at the Mishnah. We looked at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Hei Omid Aleph, and we're about to start the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Hei Omid Beis. Let's just review some of the highlights of this Mishnah so that we can start the Gemara. The Mishnah is talking about things that are normally muktza, but they're attached to a kli. And do they have the status of a kli, and therefore they're no longer mukta? So for example, we have an evan, and this stone is attached to a bucket, so to speak, which is called a kiruya. And in those days, when they wanted to dig into the well and draw forth the water, they would hollow out a gourd, or some sort of a large vegetable that had a large husk or peel to it, so they would dig it out. Rashi calls it Dolas Yevesha Chalula. And the problem was that since it was very light and it didn't go, it was Tzafa, Rashi says, it was floating on the water. In order to get it to go down into the well so they could draw up the water, they would attach it to a stone. And the question is that attachment to the stone enough to change the status of the stone so it's no longer Mukta, but rather it's a Kli? And the Mishnah says it depends as to how tightly attached it is, permanently attached to the kiruya, to this pail, so to speak. And if it's attached in such a way that when you fill it up, the stone will not fall, it'll remain attached to the kiruya, then it's not muktzah, it's part of the kli. If, on the other hand, when you submerge this kiruya into the water of the well, the stone gets loose and falls off, and then it's muktza. So we have to do that test. And a similar concept we'll have here in the case of a zmora. So the zmora case is actually what we're up to, which is on the top of Daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amid Beis. Zmora is a branch of a vine, from a vine, and they used to tie it down to a tafiach. A tafiach is, again, another kind of a utensil that's used to draw water from the bar or from a spring. And what was the purpose of this zmora? The zmora would allow you to lower this kli, this so-called tafiach, and raise it up. And the Mishnah says that since it's tied down, this mora, which it again normally would be eitzim, would be muktzah, but it's tied down to this tafiach, and it's used to memali b'mayim to facilitate the ability to draw water, therefore it's considered a kli, and it's not muktzah. And then the Mishnah gets to the case of a pekak hachalon. So let's just read the Mishnah inside. Pekak hachalon. So we're talking about something that closes up a window. And machnisen omotzeno sotomid kfiat tzorech. So it's a kind of a temporary closure of the window. And Rabbi Lezer Omer bismanshu kosher v'tolui pokekin bo. V'yim lav ein pokekimbo. V'chachom omim ben kach pokekimbo. So we have here in this Mishnah a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim. The Chachomim will allow you to close the window by pokekimbo with this. We'll call it a shutter. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, we have to first test it out. We have to determine whether it's attached to the window, to the structure of the house, and in a very permanent way. So he says the following, that if it's attached to the building with a rope, and the rope is so short that the shutter is suspended when it's not in use, meaning it's not totally closed, then pokikimbo. Then we're allowed to shutter the window with this pkak on Shabbos. But if lav, if the shutter is not suspended in that manner, then ein pokikimbo. In other words, it's resting on the ground, and you have to pick up the shutter in order to shut the window, and that looks like he's adding to the structure of the building, and that would be a violation of Melechus Bonus. So we're not really talking here about Mukta, and this requirement of Rabbi Eliezer that the Pekak be suspended, that has nothing to do with Mukta, because in Mukta we don't have that requirement. You know, take a plain board, for example, and use it as a shutter, then that's not mukta. Whatever you need to function, in this case to close up your window, that's not mukta. But our issue is that there's a shutter which he's to some extent permanently attaching to his window, and that's called mosif al binyan, that's a malach of binyan. Now it could very well be that since you already have the structure, then closing the shutters would not be a melacha of bona d'oraisa, but at least it would be a melacha of bona d'rabbanan. Now, if on the other hand the shutter is suspended, it's not resting on the ground, then it doesn't appear as if he's, shall we say, adding to the structure in a permanent way. In other words, it's already, since it's suspended, it's not on the ground, it's connected to the chalon, to the window, then you're just simply returning, you know, the shutter to its to the structure, to what it was meant to be and what it always was. You're not taking something that is extraneous to the building, to the structure, to the window, and adding it, because it's very much a part of the window already. Haraya, it's suspended. It doesn't reach the ground. Now, as far as the Shitas Chacham is concerned, we're going to have a whole sugi about that on Daf Kuf Chavav, and let's just explain it on a simple level, that even if the shutter is not tied down to the window, and it's not suspended, it's on the ground, the Tanakama, the Chachamim hold, that since you're putting this window back temporarily, that's not a malacha of bona. And the Gemara has to go into this and analyze this. So let's talk about the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, Tnan Hosom, quoting a Mishnah later on, in Masechet Shabbos, Even shall pia chavis. So we're on Shabbos, and you have this stone that's used as a cover over this barrel, and now you want to remove the wine from the barrel, are you allowed to take off this evan? And l'chora, the evan is also betiltel, it's mukta. So what does he do in such a case? Mata, he tilts the chavis al tzida on its side, the evan falls meleha on its own, and now he can take out the wine from the barrel. And the Mishnah there goes on to explain that if this chavis, which has a stone on top of it, is munachos, it's sitting there amongst many other barrels, and there may be a fear, a suspicion, that if he shakes off the evan, it might break another barrel, then we expand the heter, we're going to allow you to be, will be relaxed, and you could even lift up the chavis while the stone is on top of it, and move it to another place, and there, in that second place, he can tilt it over to his side. So again, if the chavis has a stone, and we're afraid that by tipping over the stone, he will damage other barrels that are in the neighborhood, then we're allowing him to take the entire chavis with the evan on top of it, find another place where it's not going to, damage any other neighboring barrels, and he'll tip it over and the Evan will fall. It's interesting, I think there's a printing error here. He says, it should say Sham Yata Al Tzido. I'm just going to make a note of this if you don't mind. All right, so I just... Okay. Now we get to Rabbah. Omar Rabbah, Omar Rabbi Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu, when the Chachamim in the Mishnah allowed you to lift up the Chavis in the case where the Evan is on top of the Chavis, and that was the Mishnah that we just quoted from later on, Ella b'shocheach. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu. When do we say that according to the Chachamim, at the end of the Mishnah, you're allowed to be Magbia the Chavis with the stone on top of it? Ella, it's only applicable in a case of Shocheach. He accidentally left on Erev Shabbos, inadvertently, he left a stone on top of the Chavis. There was no Kavanah. And in that case, the chavis itself is not mukta. But b'meniach, if he deliberately placed the stone on top of the barrel on Erev Shabbos, then nasa basis l'davar asur. Then the chavis, the barrel itself, becomes a basis for mukta. And if that be the case, the basis is also b'toras mukta. And not only does he have a problem in terms of circumventing the Evan on top, he can't even move the barrel. It's osu b'tiltul. And this is the shita of the Ramban in the sugya. The Baal HaMor has a different approach. But Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yasi, Omar Rav Yochanan, he had a different tradition in the name of Rav Ami and in the name of Rav Yochanan. Lo shanu el b'shocheach av meiniach Nasa kisui l'chavis. That when the Mishnah says that in order to get rid of the stone so that you could get access to the wine, you have to tip over the barrel on its side and let the oven fall, but you're not let it directly pick up the oven and remove it, that's only in the case of shocheach. In other words, he accidentally left the stone on top of the barrel going into Shabbos. Aval b'meiniach, if he had deliberately placed it on the top of the barrel to serve as a cover lid for the barrel, nasa kisui l'chavis, and then it's mamash akli, and it's mutar b'til to be a dime. He could move it directly. So this is the opinion of Yosef in terms of his transmission in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, whereas Rabba's opinion was that the only time the Chacham went matir is the case of Shocheach. If it's Meniach, it's also B'Torah's bosses. Why didn't Rabba accept this principle of Rabbi Yosef, that when he was Meniach, it becomes a Kli, it becomes a Kisui L'Kovus? Omar Rabba, Mosvinin Ashmaitin. He's going to ask from our Mishnah on his understanding of the sugya. It's like a self-flagellation. Ha'evin shebekiruya. And the Mishnah says, im memalim bo v'enin ofeles, if the evin is attached to the pail, we'll call it a pail, then he's allowed to be memalim bo mayim. It means that the stone, because it was designated for use together with the kli, and it functions in that capacity, it sinks the kli down so that you could draw the water, it's mutar b'tiltul. And therefore, in the case of the Evan, which is laying down on top of the chavis, and it's functioning as a kisui, it should be mutar b'tiltul. So he's asking on himself, because according to Rabba, we said b'meiniach, it's a basis. Why is it a basis? It should be part of the kli, it should be functioning as a lid for the kli. And just like we saw in the case of the Evan Shebekiruya, it functions in association with the kli, and therefore it's not mukta here too. This Evan is now serving as a cover lid. It functions within the broader context of the kli. It services the kli. And now Rabbah rejects this kash. Velohi. It's not a kash. Hosom. In the case of the Kiruya. Kevon de Hadka Shavya Dofen. Once he ties the Evan down to this pail, then it becomes like a part of the pail itself. The Evan becomes like a Dofen Akli. It's like one of the doors or drawers of a Kli, which are certainly integral and part of the Kli. But in the case where he leaves an Evan or he drops an Evan on top of a barrel of Chavis, is there, that's a different story. The Evan does not become part of the Kli, and therefore the Evan is Muktzah, and that in turn makes the Chavis into a Basel Dover Asa. Now, why does Rabbah insist that the Evan is not part of the Kli? I mean, we had the case of the Evan Sheva Kiruya, that became part of the Kli. Why couldn't the Evan on top of the Chavis be part of the Kli? So here we have a statement from the Baal HaMor. He writes, Achim Eniachas Evan Bidaito Vos Kamil Chasa Kli. Okay, that's a different case. If he did put it on top of the Kli, but he doesn't want it to serve as a cover for the Kli, that's a different story. Kesa Yitokhet Shavi Ami Rav Asi Shonu Shnei B'Shem Rav Yochanan Dinim Asosim Zetze. Okay, fine. Rabbah setting up the determining factor is Hadka. So you can't just take an Evan and say, well, it functions as a cover, as a this, and it's part of the Kli. You have to tie it down in a permanent way. In fact, we saw that already in the case of Evan Sheva Keruya, that it really has to be tested out and see if it's tied down in a very, you know, fastened in a very permanent way. In the case of the Evan on top of the Chavis, it was not tied down on a permanent way. In fact, all you had to do is tip over the barrel and it fell down. Omer Rav Yosef, Umosvita Nashmaitit. You know, following in the style of Rabbah, who intellectually was honest enough to ask a kasha on himself, I also would like to ask a kasha on myself. And he goes back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Vim Lav. That means if the stone is not so tightly fastened down to the Kiruya, and during the moment when you draw water, the Evan falls to the side, is Eimim Alimba, then we're not allowed to use this particular Kiruya to draw water. So we see clearly that the Evan is not considered a Kli, simply by anocha, just because you put the Evan down, that's not enough. I said to you that in the case of a deliberate hanocha on the kli, meaning if you deliberately put the Evan on the kli, then it becomes part of the kli. But the mission itself, in the case of Kiruya, obviously requires that it be tied down, fastened down to the kli, this Evan, in a very permanent way. Velohi. And again, we have an answer. Rabbi Yosef is going to deflect this question. Hasam, in the case of Kiruya, the Evan has no shimush whatsoever. It has no function. It can only function with, or in the context of she'iv, of drawing the water out. And if you're not going to tie it down, it's pointless, because the Evan is going to fall. So now, kevan to lo hadka. If instead of tying it down, he refused to do so, is bitulei batla. Then we have here a gili das, that this Evan is not so significant in his eyes. He was mevatel from being a kli. And I see that in the absence of tying it down. So therefore, we can differentiate between the Evan Sheva Keruya and the Evan al Gabi Chavis. In the case of a Chavis, once he puts the stone down on top of the Chavis in order to close it, to cover it. All we need is hanocha, and it becomes part of the kli. The evan is now part of the kli. But in the case of the evan shebekiruya, there, the evan has no, it's not achieving anything. The only thing that might make the evan significant in anybody's eyes is the fact that it's tied down on a permanent way to the kiruya. But if it's not tied down to the kiruya, then what other function does it have? I mean, the chavis is on top of the barrel. It's functioning as a cover to protect the contents of the barrel. So, b'maykomifigli, what is the machlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi? And the Gemara answers, Marsava, Rabbi Ami is of the opinion that in order to designate something and it shouldn't be muktzah on Shabbos, no, it's on Erev Shabbos, we have to go and change the yi'ud. How do you say the yi'ud? Meaning the goal or the agenda, the purpose, the function of the kli. And if you want to take muktzah on Erev Shabbos and transfer and change the function of that muktzah, of that kli, then be'inan mice, you need to do an action. You have to sort of objectify with a tikkun that this is being designated and it will be used in the context of a kli. So again, the evan that he placed on top of the chavis, he didn't do any maisa in order to be miachided for the shimush. And that's why, in the case of the evan, it's asu betiltul. But Umar Sava, now we're up to Rav Asi, he says, Lobin in Maisa. We don't need a Maisa Choshev in order to re-designate Muktzah so that now it's Royal Shimush. We can use it. All we need is Achana Muetis. All you need is just a little limited preparation. You have to take an Evan and place it down on the opening of a Chavis in order to make it into a Kli and to be matur betilta. Let's just go over the last piece of Gemara again. But my komiflegi, Mar Sover, Rabbi Ami holds that if you want to be miyachid something that's muks on Erev Shabbos and make it into a kli, to be matur betilta being a maisa, you have to do a maisa choshev of a tikkun, a chana, in order to prepare it and change it for shimush. And therefore the Evan al pi achovis is asur betiltul. He didn't do any maisa choshev to miyachid for shimush. Umar sovar, but Rabbi Asi sovar, lo bein in maisa, we don't really need such a maisa choshev in order to designate mukta for shimush. It's enough that he prepares it with a small, very limited, nominal preparation. He puts the oven on top of the chavis, and he wants to make it into a kli, and he could be matur betiltul. So the Gemara says that this machlokes between Rav Ami and Rav Asi is already an old machlokes, azdu l'tamayu. They already had a machlokes whether you need a maisa choshuv in order to be matib muktzah betiltul, techi osa Rav Ami, when Rav Ami came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Om Rabbi Chanina v'yamri lei, Om Rab Zera, Om Rab Chanina, Pam achas, holach Rebbe l'makom echot. On Erev Shabbos, Rebbe went to a certain place, u'matza nidbach shel avonim. He saw a pile of stones, one on top of the other. They were organized there for building. The Amar l'talmidav. And Rebbe said to his talmidim, tzu v'chishvu kidei shenei shevaleh mochar. Go out and designate these stones for a seat for tomorrow. So that tomorrow we'll be able to move it and organize it in a way that everyone gets a seat. Rebbe Maisa, Rebbe didn't require any action, just to be miyachidit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tzrichon Rebbe Lamaisa. According to Rabbi Yochanan's version of the story, Rebbe required them to do a Maisa. And the Gemara now clarifies, according to Rabbi Yochanan, my Omer Lahu, what exactly did Rebbe tell them in order to be matir? His goal is to be matir yeshiva on these avonim. And the Gemara says that's exactly a machlokas between two talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ami Omar, according to Rabbi Ami, the version is that Rebbe said Tzu v'limdum omalahu. Limdum means to reorganize the stones so that tomorrow we'll be able to sit on them and we won't have to move them tomorrow. And this sheet of Rabbi Ami is that really there was no heter to move the avanim. He just organized it, he asked the Talmidim to organize in such a way that to be able to sit on it and they won't have to move it because you're not allowed to move these stones. They're not considered a kli unless you do a maisa chashiv. On the other hand, Rabbi Asi Omar, according to his version, what did Rabbi tell us? Talmidim to uvishafshu vishafshifum omalu. That's what he told them. Go out and take some sort of a plane, plane, and just straighten out the avanim, remove all the surface level pieces of concrete, so that it'll be pleasant to sit on them. And that's enough to make it into a kli, and we'll be able to organize it and move it around on Shabbos in any way we choose. So even though shifshif avanim is not really a profound maisa, it doesn't really change anything, it's just very superficial. Nevertheless, according to Rav Asi, that's enough of a maisa, we call it a maisa kolshu, to be machshiv the evan and make it into a kli. So we have already a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi about an evan, if you want to make it into a kli, whether it's sufficient to have a hachana mu'etes, a limited hachana. And that's the same machlokas about Evan al pi achavis. So the machlokas that we've been studying about Evan that was placed on top of a chavis, whether it's part of the kli and it's not mukta or it's not, you didn't tie it down and you didn't do a maisa choshiv, is that's really an application of an old machlokas about exactly what Rebbe told his Talmidim when he wanted to prepare the stones for yeshiva. Itmar Rabbi Yossi ben Shol Amar. According to his version of the story of Rebbe, it was not a pile of stones, but rather it was Savar Shal Korosavi. It was beams, new beams that were designated for building, and they were organized one on top of the other on the ground in a way that they wouldn't get bent out of shape. Rabbi Yochanan Shol Amar, I'm not sure if that's his brother, but it would seem like it. He said, Gishosh shel Sfina Havi, that the story was, there was a long piece of wood that they used as a gashash in front of the boats. You know, they wanted to make sure that the boat wouldn't end up in shallow water, too shallow water, that would ruin the boat. And the Gemara says that this machlokes here, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan, is a fundamental machlok. It's not just a question of the details of the story. Mandi over gashosh, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that the story was in the case of a gashosh, even though, and here's where the Kal v'Chomer comes in, even though in this case, it's possible that it will be miskalkel Yoser, nevertheless, Rebbe was matir the tiltul through achanam mu'etes. Is kolshkin in the case of savar, that was the case of the beams, the din would certainly be that Rebbe would allow you just simply to, without a maisa choshev, to prepare it for Shabbos use. Because in the case of these koros, there's less of a kpeda than in the case of the geshosh. So the eitz aruch that was used by the geshosh was a very significant piece of utensil and very sophisticated, and it was really designated for a geshosh, and yet, nevertheless, Rebbe, according to that version of Rabbi Yochanan, allowed them to reassign that geshoch so that it would not be muktzeh on Shabbos. How much more so in the case of Koros, of the Svar, there for sure Rebbe would have certainly allowed, with just a minimum hachana, that it could be used on Shabbos. But mind the Omer, if you go the other way, and we take Rav Yossi's opinion, that the story of Rebbe was in a Savar, was those Koros, then we could say Dafka in the case of the Savar, that's when Rebbe was Metaltel, with a minimum, call it a nominal kind of Hachana, level, a low level, low grade Hachana. But in the case of Gashosh, Kapit Aleh, where people are very makpid, that maybe it'll be miskalkil, maybe it'll be bent out of shape, and therefore they designate a specific place to watch it and prepare and guard it, and that's called Maktzeh B'Yadayim. They don't want anyone else to use it, and they don't want to reuse it for something else. In that case, you would require, even according to Rebbe, a Maisa Hachana Chashuv, a Maisa Chashuv, to prepare it for use on Shabbos. Now let's go back to the Mishnah in the case of the Zmora. The Zmora was tied down to this utensil called a tefiach that was used to fill up liquids and carry them on Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, Shehik Shura. So the Gemara is Medayik. If the Zmora is Kshura down to the tefiach, then you could allow this movement, you know, moving this Zemora. So again, it's got to be Kshura. And again, we're not sure exactly how tight is Kshura, but it does seem like it's a bit of a Maisa Choshev. But Lo Kshura, if it was not tied down to this pitcher, then even though you could be toled by a satafiach, even though it's possible that without tying it down, you can still, to some extent, attach this zmora to the pitcher, and you could use this vine to, shall we say, lift up the pitcher. And that's exactly what he thought of on Erev Shabbos. Lo, that's not enough to allow you to be mamale, to use this zimra, and it still remains mukta. So the machshav alone is not enough. You need kshura. You need a direct maisa. And even though the vine has a bend in it, and the pitcher can be lowered into the well, and he intended to use it before Shabbos for that purpose, nevertheless he's not allowed to do so. Now, it seems to me that this machlokes here, or not machlokes, but this interpretation of the Mishnah, would really reflect on the sugi that we had about Rebbe, in terms of taking something that's really muktzah machmas gufo, like we spoke about a stone, and redirecting its use and making it into a kli. Do you need a maisa choshev or not? But the Gemara goes in a different direction. Lema masnisin, the loka Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel goes as far as to say that you could take mukta and you could be miyachid ipi machshava, and all you need is machshava. You don't need any maisa, and that's enough to remove its status as mukta. Desanya, we learned in the brisa, charios shel dekel. These are branches of a date tree, a date palm tree, we'll call it, and they're dry. Shegidoram li eitzim. He cut it down to use it for fuel, to put it into the fire. So that's what we call mukta machmas gufo. V'nimlach aleim. Now he changes his mind, and he decides li yeshiva, that let these charios shel dekel serve as a chair for sitting. And he was machshavit as in his machshavah to as a moshav, and he wanted to be matir petiltul. And it says here tzarich likshar. The brisa requires that it's not enough on erev Shabbos just to think about it and redesignate it mentally as a moshav. That's not a sufficient hachana to be matir tiltul, but rather he needs to tie it down. Lo kashron, if he didn't tie it down, there are suras betiltul. Machshavit enough is not sufficient to designate it as a kli and remove the isur mukta. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer ain tzarich likshar. All he needs is machshava v'lvad, and the chorios become a kli. That's a moshav. So lechora, according to the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, we should be mater this mora once he thought about using it in the context of this kli of this pitcher, even if he doesn't tie it down. So that our Mishnah is a direct contradiction to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara tries to reinterpret our Mishnah in a way that even Rav Shimon Gamliel could be reconciled with that Mishnah. Omar Rav Sheshes, Afilu Tema Rav Shimon Gamliel, even if you want to integrate our Mishnah with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it's enough to be Miyachit something Machshava, and that will remove the status of Mukta. Don't ask me about the case of Zmora, why we need Kshira. Hachamayaskina, the Mishnah is talking about a case of Mechuberes Biyavia, that this Zmora is tied down to the vineyard. It's still Mechuberes to the Eitz Geffen. In this case, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would be Moda. He would certainly concede that you need a Maisa to be Mater Betiltel. Now, when it says Mechuberes, what does that mean? You know, we're saying that it's tied down to the karka, and therefore, as long as it's mechuber l'karka, you can't make it into a kli. The Gemara asks, if we're talking about a zmora that's mechuber l'karka, it's tied down to the vineyard, so how does kshira help you? Kamishtamesh b'mechuber l'karka. The Chachamim said, you're not allowed to use anything that's mechuber l'karka. And that's a mission at the end of Beitza. Elu hemishum shvus la olim ba ilon. That we're not allowed to benefit anything from anything that's attached to the ground. And here too, since it's attached to the ground, how could we possibly, even if we tie it down to the pitcher, it should be awesome because mechubel karka. So this zimra, I don't know. At this point in the Gemara, I don't know exactly how you could be mater. So the Gemara answers that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a Zimra, which is Lamata Mi Shlosha. In other words, it's within three Tvachim of the Karka. And in such a case, the Chacham did not Aser Hishtamshus B'Mechubar. And this is Sugyan Erevin of Ein Lasheves Al Sharshe Ilan. Im Hayu Gvoa Min Ha'aret Shlosha Tvachim, but Pachas Mi Shlosha Tvachim, there's no Iser. So we can interpret our Mishnah as referring to a case of, let's say, a mayon, a spring, it doesn't have deep water, and the zmoros are underneath three tefachim to the karka. And in such a case, the iser of mishtamish b'mechuber doesn't apply. That gzeres chacham does not extend to a case of lamata mishlosha. It's not like an elon. And therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, even Rav Shimon Gamliel could agree that since it's mechubar, and again, the iser of mishtamish mechubar doesn't apply, but nevertheless, it is mechubar, and therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that you need a maisa in order to be mater betiltel. Rav Ashi offers an alternative answer. Rav Ashi omar afilu tema. Even if you want to say the Mishnah is talking about his mora tlusha, it's not in any way attached to the vine, to the karka, we could still reconcile this with Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Mishnah says you can't draw from with the zmora if it's not tied down. The answer is gzera shemi yiktom, which means that if he comes to pick up the pitcher with this vine in order to draw the water, then all of a sudden he sees that maybe it's too long, and it's a very soft, kind of light zmora, so all he has to do is cut it. And if he cuts it, then he violates the malacha of Makom HaPatish. And now we're up to the Mishnah of Pekak HaChalon, which records Machlok Shin Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer qualifies the Heter Pekak HaChalon. When are you allowed to put it back? That's only if it's suspended, meaning it's still tied. But if it's not tied to the ground, then you're not allowed to be pokek. and the Chacham allow it in all cases, even if it's not kosher v'tolui. Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chacham agree, She'ein Osim Ol Aroi B'tchila B'yontif, to create a binyan, even if it's only temporary, that for sure is prohibited on Yontif. And we're talking about being pores, machtzelos, of arba, mechitzos, or for amudim. All this is hascholas binyan ol aroy on yontif, and that's awesome. The ain't tzarech lomer, and it goes without saying that you can't begin a binyan on Shabbos. Shabbos is always more chomer than yontif. Lo nechelku, where's the machlok shin rabbi lezen l'chachomim? Ela lahosif a tosefes onto a binyan. You're not starting a binyan, but you're adding onto a binyan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ein mosifin. You cannot add onto a binyan even in a temporary way on yontif. The ein tzarech lomer goes without saying on Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to put the pekak in the chalon, and that's a case where it's not tolui, if it's not hanging down there, it's on the floor. Because in this case, he's being mosif, a tosefes aroi. Chachamim, on the other hand, say mosifin. Why? Even on Shabbos and certainly on Yontif, they were matir lifkok, because according to their shita, attaching the shutter to the window, then number one, it's only on a temporary basis. You're going to constantly take off this shutter from the window. And number two, you're not starting a new binyan. It's already past the aschola stage. So if you combine those two factors, A plus B, then you're allowed to put the shutter into the window. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Kahana, right, the Chacham hold that you're allowed to put the shutter back into the window. And now we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Chav Vav Hamad Aleph. Bein kosher, bein sheino kosher. You don't even need a kshira of the shutter to the window. V'hu shem mesukan. But only one condition is necessary. It's got to be prepared from yesterday, meaning it has to be designated, he was choshev before Shabbos that he wants to use this shutter as a pekak. And therefore, since he was choshev that this pekak should be part of the binyan, it's already considered part of the binyan, that's when the Chachamim say you don't consider this being mosiv al binyan when he closes the window with this shutter. Omer Lei, so Rabbi Yirmiya asks Akash and Rabbi Abba, why did you come up with this kula that you wanted to say? Maybe the Chacham would hold the pekak chalon is muta even if it's not kosher, and that was simple to you, that was certain to you. Lemamar, why don't we reinterpret the Chachamim and assume that when the Chacham said bein kach ubein kach pokekim bo, that means bein toli bein sheino toli. It doesn't matter whether it's suspended and it's not on the floor, if it's even on the floor, but certainly v'hu shekosher, even the Chachamim would require a barest minimum that it be tied down to the shutter. And it's attached to the window. So Rabbi Eliezer requires that this pekak should be kosher v'talui. Not only is it tied down, it's got to be suspended in midair. It's not dragging on the ground. If it's only toli barosh and the part of it in the bottom is nigrar ba'aretz, then ein pokim bo, it's got to be mamish suspended in air. The Chachamim say no. If it's kosher, if it's tied down, then pokim bo, you're allowed to use this shutter to close the window, even though it's not totally, even though it's not suspended in midair. But kosher is certainly a requirement, even according to the Chachamim. And now Rabbi Yirmiya goes ahead and proves that he's right. The Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kimachlokes Kan, Kach Machlokes, b'neger hanigrar. The machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachom in the case of pekachah alone is identical with the machlokas tanoim in the law of neger hanigrar, which is a mission in Erevin. So let's learn the mission Erevin and figure out what this neger hanigrar is all about. This nan we learned in the Mishnah neger. Okay, I'm going to tell you the English translation of neger, and we'll fill it in with the Hebrew translation. It's a door bolt that drags on the ground. Okay, in the Hebrew, he calls it yased, which is a bolt. Hamishamish ne'ilas hadelos. It functions in order to close the door. And what do you do with it? You do a tkia. You push it into a char, into a hole that's in the entranceway into the house. And it's nigrar. And it drags. It's tied down to the delos, but it's not suspended in air. It's nigrar. It's dragged on the karka. Now, according to the Tanakhama, nolimbo, you're allowed to lock the door, the migdash, avalo b'medina. Meaning, this is a heter that's in Beis HaMikdash. Now, the reason for this distinction between Migdash and Medina is because, on a Torah level, this tkia does not have an iser bona. Why? Because when he ties it down in the delis, it's omed memuchan lekach. It's considered already built. And that happened on Erev Shabbos. And therefore the Tanakhama says that in Migdash we're going to allow this. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, were afraid that it looks like binyan. Why? Because the kshira is not a kshira nikeres. And therefore they made a gzera lo yinalubo. You can't use it to lock the door. Unless it's totally biavir. If the kshira has this bolt, you know, suspended in air, then it's nikar. Everybody can see that it's designated for that purpose. And therefore, we're going to prohibit, according to the Chachamim, ni'ila. And even in the Migdash, we should prohibit it. Again, we might be matir in the Migdash because usually the Gzeres of Chachamim don't apply in the Migdash. That's based on a principle called Ein Shvus B'Migdash. But again, let's just summarize what we have so far. We're not yet ready for the punchline, which is coming around the bend. But we're saying the following. That we have a machlokes about nagar nigrar. And that's the case of a door bolt that drags on the floor. It's tied to the door, but the cord is so long that the bolt reaches the ground. And according to Tanakhama, a door bolt that drags on the ground, you're allowed to lock a door with it, but only in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, v'hamunach, and if you have a bolt that's completely unattached, is kan v'kan osur. It's osur, whether it's in the Mikdash or out of the Mikdash. Okay, so that's the shita of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamunach b'Migdash, if this bolt that's unattached is resting on the ground, it's permitted in the Migdash. V'anigra b'Medina, but if it's attached but it drags on the ground, then it's mutter even in the Medina, even outside the Migdash. So let's just summarize what we have over here. I see it's getting late and the time is closing on us. I think we should stop here on Kuf Chav Vav Amin Aleph, and we're up to the Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Machlokes ke machlokes kan kach machlokes b'neger hanigur.